different. He responded to a crash with urgency to preserve life. Tragically, his was lost.
The officer was shot multiple times while responding to a traffic accident on the south side of the city. President Trump today is set to address the scourge of MS-13 gang violence in Long Island, New York. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Since taking office, the president has vowed a nationwide crackdown on MS-13, a deadly gang with origins in Central America.
We don't want MS-13 roving our streets. We're getting rid of them by the thousands. They're going to be out of here.
This afternoon, Mr. Trump will visit Long Island, a region that has been hard hit by a string of killings blamed on MS-13. Greg Clugston, The White House.
On Wall Street, Dow futures right now are down 37 points. NASDAQ futures off by 50. S&P 500 futures off by about 9 points. This is SRN News.
This is 620 AM KEXB, the business experts.
Well, good morning. It is Friday morning, and I'll tell you what, I am all juiced up, fired up, ready to go up, kicking the booty up, getting ready to get things done. We are excited. We are JP, Kathy, and the crew. I've got Kathy to my left.
Howdy, folks. How goes it?
She's doing something with her phone. Michael, what is this? What is this, Michael? Is it the roving
I'm showing
phone
everything.
Thing,
I had to have my phone plugged into the very last minute, my friend. It was at 47%.
47%?
That is not going to last the entire show.
You are clearly not a millennial. If you were a millennial, you'd have a backup thingy-majigger that's the size of a compact already charging
Honey,
your phone.
No, I'm not a millennial.
I don't get it.
I gave birth to a millennial. I'm not a millennial.
Ooh, girl, you need to come along with your bad self. So,
howdy, folks, and welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Where's Sharavius? Where's the peach?
We love you, Sharavius. Oh, no. I'm already being called Catherine Ann.
Live from Peach City. How you doing?
Man, we're fired up. Are you ready for the big debate today between Christina Garcia and me? You ready to chime in?
Judge, I don't know. I did my research, and you may have a tough one.
Oh, man, I'm going to try to figure out how liberals can even be upset with this bill. I'm looking at this bill going, yuck. So I'm like, you know, unbelievable. We're going to make this thing happen at 6:30 this morning. But before then, we have got the... we got Dr. D coming on with psychiatry and mental health in the ER. He is our emergency room doctor and specialist. And I'm going to tell you something. This guy has got it going on. Dr. D has been to Parkland Hospital, and now he is bouncing all over ERs, all over North Texas. This guy does a fantastic job, pretty darn amazing doctor. And Dr. D is going to talk to us about psychiatry and mental health in the ER, and so we're going to be talking about that. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You show me somebody who has not had mental health affect their family, and I will show you somebody who has a very small family.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And people, and that's the thing, you know, we've got to get to the point where we're able to talk about it. Obviously, if you've got a minor involved, you don't want to talk about the mental health issues, but, you know, you want to protect their privacy, but mental health is out there, and we've all been impacted by it. And I'm fascinated with some of the stuff that Dr. D has to say when he was talking about hypochondriacs and the fact that they will visit 22, 26 hospitals, emergency rooms, urgent care facilities in a night just to get the medication or the reaction or the diagnosis that they want. I was fascinated by some of the stories he had.
And folks, and just a quick reminder, what that is that when we were talking about hypochondriacism, and sadly I was not going through a hypochondriacism. I really had a migraine headache and couldn't drive because I couldn't see. So, but yeah, I mean, it's scary stuff. And now we're going to talk about the psychiatry and the mental health part aspect of it. And I've got some actual experience as a parent with this now, and can speak to this as we talk with Dr. D and talk about what's going on in our ERs across the state of Texas. And I can tell you pretty much, folks, it's a thumbprint. You know, if it's happening at Parkland, it's happening in El Paso, it's happening in San Antonio.
It's all over. And, you know, this is one of those things you hear people, they'll say stuff like, oh, well, you just need to be a better parent, or you need to keep a closer eye on your kids, or you need to this, or you need to that. Do not judge until you have walked a mile in someone else's shoes, because mental health, it's like telling somebody, if they're mentally ill, it's the same equivalent in my mind, and I believe I know you stand on the same leg that I do, John, that it is... like telling somebody with diabetes, suck it up and make sure that you produce insulin correctly.
Yeah, and
mental health is a disease.
Well, and we've got to get smarter. And as Republicans and conservatives, we have gotten smarter. We're identifying, and I can talk about this from experience at this point, we are identifying better now mental health in our jails. When I do arraignments and I handle the jail, I am asking. I'm saying, do you have a social worker? Are you working with somebody in the mental health field? You clearly have a mental health issue. A lot of them will disclose schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, and not even depression, major depression disorder.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And all of these things are impacted heavily, especially when we're not taking our medication, when we're using other drugs to try to...
self-medicate.
Right. Self-medicate.
Absolutely,
thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
And so bottom line is this, is that we've got to do a better job addressing our mental health issues, dealing with mental health. And Dr. D is going to talk to us about that in the ER. Hopefully we can get a little fun out of it as well. We apologize, by the way. Dr. D's normal segment is on Wednesday mornings, but we had to push that. And I want to thank Michael for making up for Kathy and I. I was stuck on the side of the road, and Kathy was not feeling hot.
Oh, my gosh. I had broken out in hives on allergies, the top of my head, my arms, my neck. Allergies aplenty. And boy, I wish that was just in my head.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
you're
not alone. Allergy season is amongst folks, especially like Faye. Faye was sent home from work.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
craziness.
So it's crazy stuff.
She was faking, Judge.
What's that, Sharavius?
She was faking.
Sharavius.
He already called me Catherine Ann at the beginning of the show. I know I'm already in trouble. I know he's got his arsenal. He's got his arrows and his quiver ready to aim.
Catherine Ann.
Love you, Sharavius.
Yeah. You liberal, you.
You're a liberal now.
Oh, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, the music is tickling my eardrums.
Whatever.
The music is tickling my...
W. Hey,
I'm going to tell you something. The music's tickling my eardrums here. I think it's telling me it's time to go to break. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. We are JP, Kathy, and the crew. Join us for Dr. D's Psychiatry, Mental Health, in the ER. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 620 AM. KEXB.
Good morning, friends. We take our first look at traffic here on 620 AM KEXB. Watch for an accident eastbound 30 near Ferguson. Your stop and go back to Winslow Avenue. Delays there about 5 to 10 minutes. We have a vehicle fire this morning. Two right lanes of traffic are blocked in Dallas. This is the 635 LBJ Freeway Service Road westbound at Marsh Lane. That is a look at traffic right here on 620 AM KEXB.
Have we got a show for you? Join Tony Bashara with the Job Search Solution Show, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. right here on 620 AM KEXB. As president of Babbage & Associates, Tony Bashara has authored 4 best-selling books and has frequently appeared as an expert guest on radio and TV talk programs, offering advice on how to find a job or change careers in this difficult economy. So make sure you're listening to the Job Search Solution Show, weekdays at 8 p.m. right here on 620 AM KEXB.
Hi, I'm Bo Hopkins, the owner of Zero Res. No one likes dirty carpet. No one likes spots or nasty traffic patterns. It doesn't need to look that way, even if it's older. Whether in your business or in your home, we can make you love your carpet again. Only Zero Res has our patented, revolutionary, green-empowered water system. We clean with using no toxic chemicals, detergents, or fragrances. We leave zero dirt-attracting residue behind, so your clean lasts longer and your carpets dry quickly. But great technology is nothing unless we have great people to back it up. Every Zero Res technician is especially trained and excited to serve you. Our number one goal is to make you a raving fan.
Call Zero Res and book your clean today. Ask for the KEXB special and get your carpets expertly pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for only $33 per room. Call 214-37-CLEAN, 214-37-CLEAN, or at ZeroResDallas.com. Minimums apply, residential only. Business owners, call today for your free commercial estimate and demonstration. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it still spells the same. Zero Res.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
Rodenbaugh's, Allen's oldest business, offers a full range of products for your home. All types of flooring, quartz, and granite countertops, tile backsplashes, mattresses, and multiple brands of appliances, including Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, and Amana. Stop in now to receive up to $1,600 in rebates when you purchase a kitchen full of KitchenAid appliances. See store for details. You can find us at rodenbaugh's.com. Whether you are remodeling, replacing, or upgrading, you've got the hometown advantage at Rodenbaugh's. Mention JP, Kathy, and the crew and get free standard delivery.
Make your grilling great again. The evolution of sauce is here, and there's a new king of the jungle. Silverback Gorillin' Sauce. A unique name, a unique flavor. With a taste that alternates between sweet and spicy, you can use it as a base, as a marinade, or better yet, pour it on top of your meat as you're grilling, as the sauce thickens and begins to caramelize under the heat. Gluten-free and no high-fructose corn syrup. Head on over to your local Kroger and pick up some, or find us at silverbackgorillin.com. Get your gorillin' on.
Yeah!
Experts in business. 620 AM. KEXB.
All right, folks, welcome back to JP, Kathy, and the crew. Super excited. Dr. Dave, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, John?
Man, I'm great. Have you gotten any sleep, Dr. Dave?
No, you got me in another night where I've been up all night working. I'm in the ER right now. So
do you need to be seen by the ER psychiatrist, Dr. Dave?
Oh, wow. Show me a place with an ER psychiatrist, and I will go work there.
Yeah, it's exactly right, and I'm glad you segued into that.
I love it, Dr. Dave.
Because I was going to start us off, Dr. Dave, with a story. I went in with my stepdaughter to the ER to get some help. And do you know that we sat there literally from 9:30 until almost 5 o'clock in the morning?
Wow.
And we lost a bed at a mental health facility because the psychiatrist for the hospital wasn't there yet, the on-call psychiatrist, to get us basically certified, I guess, saying that we do need some mental health help. And so we lost one night. You get on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and call some CEOs to get us into another facility. You know, help me out here. Please tell me that that is not the norm at Texas ERs.
Unfortunately, it is, especially for an adolescent. Adolescents are going to have it the worst as far as being able to get help, especially from an ER. People come to the ER because we're here to help you. But unfortunately, for mental health, it's almost the last place you want to go to first. When you come to the ER for mental health, what we do is then get on the phone and try to find a place for you. We try to find someone to evaluate you and then try to help with placement, like what happened to your stepdaughter. There's not many emergency departments that have a psychiatric ward or a psychiatric hospital associated to it. So the system is very, very broken, and it's very lacking. It's almost better to, if you know the few places where they have, you know, a psychiatric hospital, just to show up there. But if you come to the ER, we're going to try to help you, but it's very limited and the wait times are very, very long.
Dr. Dave, help me out here. When they say psychiatrist on call, mm-hmm. I mean, do we have one psychiatrist on call for like 12 hospitals? Or is it just one psychiatrist, but we can't get a hold of them because their phone's not ringing and they forgot they were on call? I mean, I don't understand, because the psychiatrist wasn't already at the hospital. She came in, like I said, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:30, 3:45 in the morning. And at 5:45 a.m., I'm driving to Millwood Hospital
right,
to get some help, which they did a great job. My stepdaughter's doing unbelievably great. But I don't understand. Help me out here. Why is it if we've got an on-call doctor? Because I remember my uncle, when he was on call out in California, when they called him, I mean, he was already awake. And sure. He got up, got in the car, and was there in 20 minutes because that was the drive.
And the sad part is that psychiatrist, well, I shouldn't be speaking for the facility, but usually the psychiatrist does not have to be present to accept a patient. They just have to take the call. So the system is kind of as follows. You come into an emergency department. We're going to clear you medically, you know, saying that you don't have an organic or medical reason to account for your symptoms. We're going to attest that you have a psychiatric condition that needs immediate help, that you're, you know, a threat to yourself or others, and you're then going to pursue a mental health evaluation. That first evaluation isn't usually done by a psychiatrist. It's in conjunction with a mental health evaluator that can be in person or over the phone, and myself, the emergency physician. They then search for a bed throughout Dallas-Fort Worth or throughout the state of Texas, you know, the most appropriate bed, and they have to make sure, you know, it's a male or female bed, that you could fit on that floor. You know, level of aggressiveness plays into things. So we're going to be searching around for the most appropriate spot, and then the final step is talking to that psychiatrist. It's usually ER doctor to psychiatrist, and I'm going to tell that psychiatrist what's going on, and they usually just say yes. And so then we get the patient over there. Now, during the day, the psychiatrists are doing their job, seeing patients, doing the counseling, adjusting medicines. And at night, you know, they're on call, usually at home, and taking those acceptance. So why it took so long to get acceptance at 4 in the morning, probably just waking the psychiatrist up, unfortunately. But, you know, waking the psychiatrist up isn't the problem with our health system. The problem with the health system is the lack of resources for psychiatry.
So, Dr. Dave, help me out here. I mean, I get in the hospital. I mean, a doctor can look at me, a nurse can look at me and say, okay, yeah, you know what, we need to call a psychiatrist. Let's begin this process, do a mental health evaluation. But, like, for that evening for us, you know, my stepdaughter was in psychosis, right? And so I'm having to maintain her. Now, and I'm fortunate because I've worked with mental health and mental health issues and kids and families for 27 years. So I understand kids. I know how to work with kids. But I'm having to basically keep this child engaged from 10 p.m. until 4:45, 4:30 a.m. with no help. And when I'm walking her back and forth to the restroom, I've got nurses and police officers giving me dirty looks. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, people, can't you get me a professional here?
Wow. Well, I apologize for your experience. I'm not sure what emergency department that is.
They're not a sponsor, so we will not be talking about them.
No, we will not be mentioning them. But, you know, this is standard, Dr. Dave.
Ideally, we should be giving the patient in the ER medicines to help sedate them or calm them. You don't want them to a point where they're completely asleep, but you want them to be relaxed, and we have those resources in the ER. There's plenty of medicines we can give. Unfortunately, people are afraid to give teenagers or adolescents medicines to sedate them, you know, versus an adult, we pull the trigger a lot easier. But some ER physicians are a little more hesitant to treat adolescents because we're just not as experienced with it. It's a slim field treating adolescents in psychosis. But, you know, there should have been a sitter applied. Usually there's a one-to-one law almost that, you know, that patient has to have one-to-one supervision. So it shouldn't have had to be you taking your stepdaughter to the bathroom. But, again, there's so many gaps and holes in this mental health system that's the problem with showing up at an emergency department. If the emergency department is overwhelmed with other cases, we're not trained really to specialize in psychiatry. We can handle the emergent part. But the little things that go into it, like even you said, getting to the bathroom and making the patient feel comfortable doing that is not something where the emergency department is the ideal environment. And if you think about it from the flip side, you have a patient in psychosis, a patient that might be suicidal, on drugs, any of the psychiatric spectrum. You put them in a loud, chaotic emergency department, and it's only going to make the situation worse. We are not the calming environment that a psychiatric patient needs. But unfortunately, we're the only place to go.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting because they put us in a room with TVs, monitors, buttons to push, things to do, and then are upset because we're pushing them.
Yeah, generally the psychiatric patients are supposed to be in a, we call a locked room, or a room with no stimuli. There can't be any kind of cords that a patient can harm themselves with. Like you said, buttons, there shouldn't have been a TV remote. It's supposed to be a very plain, basic room with no stimulation. So sometimes those rooms are full, and then you're in a regular room. That might have been the case there.
And we were. And so, Dr. Dave, I've got a lot of people that are chiming in on this subject. Number one, I'd like to make this a two-part series, and let's come back Wednesday and let's hit this again. Are you okay
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure. And I'd like my best friend, Dr. Paul Schneider, and I went to medical school together, and he went into psychiatry. I almost went there with him. So we talk about this daily. So he'd love to join us, and if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
We'd welcome him onto the show. So, Dr. Dave, one of the questions I've gotten, and this may be applied across the state or across the country. So we've got listeners this morning all the way in Austria, London, Japan, here in the States, and that are tuned in on our Facebook live feed. And so one of the questions is, would a Green Oaks environment be a better place to go to than your local ER? And so to generalize that, go ahead and answer that specifically, but to generalize that as well, would it be better to go to a 24-hour mental health facility in the middle of the night if they have like an ER or an intake versus a regular emergency room?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, the first thing to remember is it's not going to be still it's a psychiatric facility, so it's not the most calm environment. But that is the ideal place. You know, too bad we can't have a place like Green Oaks in every city. But that's the ideal place where they have an actual psychiatric ER. So there is a psychiatrist there 24/7. And they are the rare exception to the rule. So they have a psychiatric ER, and Dr. Schneider has actually worked there. They have inpatient psychiatry. And when you need your medical clearance, you're just taken, across the street to Medical City Dallas, and you see the ER doc real quick. We make sure that it's not a life-threatening medical condition, and you're taken right back to Green Oaks. So that, if you live in a place fortunate enough to where there's a system like that, I think that is the best way to go.
So what are some of the other challenges that people may come across, Dr. Dave, when entering into the ER with mental health and psychiatric needs?
The psychiatric spectrum is so, so large. The most common thing you're going to see is mood disorders. And as you know as a judge, mood disorders are very hard to treat, if not impossible. Those are going to be kind of the patients that might have aggressive issues, some borderline personality disorders, disorders that manifest themselves as medical conditions, but it's really an underlying psychiatric condition. Those are hard to pinpoint, but they're not something that you're going to necessarily have to get to a psych hospital that night. The other hard part is patients that come in maybe for mild general complaints, and we don't catch that it's really a psychiatric condition. The patients that come in for, headaches and stomach pains, and they might go through the screening, are you suicidal, but they don't say yes. And, unfortunately, one in five patients that do commit suicide had been in an emergency department in the last couple months. So we do drop the ball sometimes on catching the patients that might have been seeking help but not asking for it, just kind of hoping that we would figure it out. And placement that we talked about earlier, I think, is the biggest issue. And then the other thing people struggle with is drug and alcohol addiction. It's every day I work that somebody comes in and I ask, what can I do for you? And they say, well, I'm here to detox. Well, most medical hospitals do not detox. We don't, have alcohol and drug detox where you can just check in, or else we'd be a detox facility.
Well, and Dr. Dave, let me ask you a question, because I know another thing that we've discussed on this show before, mental health is a huge topic of discussion on sure. JP, Kathy, and the crew. Would that be a place where if someone goes into the ER, would you recommend them to a dual diagnosis facility at that point in time if you think that there's a mental illness component and that's along with the either drug or alcohol abuse issue? Is that where you would recommend dual diagnosis, or would you recommend a facility where they can get sober? How do you know the difference?
It takes a lot of interviewing with a patient and getting to the bottom and the root cause. And then it comes down to the resources. You know, once they're with us, the dual diagnosis facility would be the best case scenario. We have to see and treat and stabilize them once they come in the ER. That's the law. From there, it depends on if they're suicidal or a danger to themselves. If they're not, then that substance abuse problem isn't considered under EMTALA federal law that they have to be transferred somewhere. They have to be taken care of right then. So we will try to facilitate them as far as getting into that facility, but unfortunately, a lot of times that comes down to funding. Do they have to get into one of those facilities? You usually have to have funding, and so if they don't have the funding, there's not a lot of facilities that are going to take them as a transfer. So we might find an outpatient referral, like MHMR or someone that can see them on a day basis.
So, Dr. Dave, we've got another. We've got several comments in a string.
Coming in.
But one of the big ones too is that there's a fear, and I think every parent fears this, and you probably come across this in the ER. And that fear is: am I exposing my child to folks worse off, and what kind of impact is that going to have on my child? How do we put a parent at ease on this, Dr. Dave?
Can you explain a little further?
Let's say I've got my child's real depressed and they're contemplating suicide, God forbid, and I'm going into the ER or I'm going into a mental health facility like Green Oaks, and we've got a paranoid schizophrenic over here, we've got a personality disorder over here, because you know personality disorders, those are not fixable.
No.
I mean, they're not. I've read, I cannot tell you how many books trying to figure out, can you fix a personality? And you can't.
No.
And that is a huge, I don't think people realize how big the spectrum is on a personality disorder and what different activities, behaviors can be plotted on that map called personality disorders. And so I think the big question is, okay, I take my kid in who's a little bit depressed. They're going to go back there. They may encounter other people that are worse off.
Someone who you're saying is like quote unquote worse. And again, we want to say that if you have a personality disorder, something like a bipolar, it can be treated and you can be stabilized and you can live a fully normal life. But again, you're talking about somebody in an adolescent stage, which typically they don't give out those diagnoses until age 18. You know, they don't want to label them with it early. But, you know, you're right. How do you help a parent alleviate that fear?
Dr. Dave, let me interrupt you. I got to interrupt you. They're telling me in the booth that I'm about to be fired. We got to take a quick break. Do you mind coming back right after the break, Dr. Dave?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, we'll be right back. We're with Dr. Dave. We're discussing psychiatry, mental health in the ER, our ER doctor specialist. We'll be right back after these messages.
No, I want that dance. You can stand me up at the gates.
From Wall Street to North Texas, this is 620 AM, KEXB.
Let's check your traffic here on 620 AM, KEXB. An accident blocking the center lane in Dallas 35E northbound near Medical District Drive. Traffic is stop and go back to about Oaklawn Avenue. In Mesquite, the left lane and right shoulder taken up with an accident. 635 LBJ Freeway northbound at I-30. And traffic is stopped back to Highway 80 this morning. And that is a look at traffic right here on 620 AM KEXB.
Del Wamsley here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, The Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Listen to The Del Wamsley Radio Show every weekday at 11 a.m. right here on 620 a.m. KEXB.
Dennis Prager here. And for 2 years now, I've been telling you about my wife, Sue, who tried Relief Factor because of her knee pain, and it worked. This is before I ever even heard about the product. I never endorsed a pain reliever, but now I am. And yes, now I'm taking Relief Factor, too. Maybe you've heard me call it a miracle. In fact, listen to what Amanda from Texas wrote. I was having pain in my left thumb area and left side of my leg from my knee, about 4 inches up. After about a week of taking Relief Factor, the pain in my leg has gone away, and a few days later, the pain in my left hand is gone. We've gotten thousands of these testimonials, and if you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle aches and pain, do what my wife Sue did, try Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com or call them toll-free 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
Family Healthcare Associates, serving you and your family for over 40 years. With 11 locations across the Metroplex, you are sure to find a personal physician who meets your needs. Our highly trained primary care physicians, internal medicine, and pediatric and OBGYN specialists provide contemporary medical treatments for the entire family through all stages of life, from prenatal to seniors. Visit Family Healthcare Associates at fhcatx.com. That's fhcatx.com. Or call 817-794-0031. Now's your chance to update your kitchen and save a bunch. Go to Rodenbaugh's and see all the KitchenAid appliances that qualify for up to $1,600 in rebates when you buy a multi-piece kitchen suite. But that's not all. Rodenbaugh's can replace your floors, countertops, backsplashes, and your old mattresses with finance options up to $50,000 with qualified credit. Check them out at Rodenbaugh's.com. Family owned and operated since 1962, Rodenbaugh's is Allen's oldest business. Mention J.P., Kathy, and the crew and receive free standard delivery.
When you're grilling on a Saturday night, you want a sauce with kick. When you're grilling on a Saturday night, you want a sauce that stays. And you'll be go-rilling, go-rilling. Silverback Gorilla Sauce. I said Silverback Gorilla Sauce.
Silverback Gorilla Sauce. Head on over to your local Kroger and pick up some, or find us at silverbackgorilla.com. Get your gorilla on.
Yeah!
You've worked hard for retirement, so it's critical that you protect what you have. In 2008, the stock market crash wiped out 12 years of gains in 17 months. Could you still afford retirement if it happened again? That's why, if you're retired or retiring soon, don't miss this free Money Matters Retirement Seminar. Choose Plano August 1st or Fort Worth on August 2nd. Let Money Matters help create your path to financial peace of mind. Register now at moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net, or call 800-994-0302.
620 AM, KEXB, experts in business in North Texas.
All right, folks, welcome back to JP, Kathy, and the crew. Kathy, good morning to my left.
Howdy, folks. Happy Friday.
All right, and I think, Christina, let me see. Let's check this. Are you live
she
and active?
Be mic four?
Let's see.
Ooh, Michael, I hear are we? Her.
Sounds Yay! Great. I want to welcome Christina Garcia, the Deputy Director of LULAC for the state of Texas, joining us this morning as well. We're going to get to her in a moment. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
All right. Dr. Dave, are you still on the line with us?
Yes, sir.
You have not fallen asleep yet. So, Dr. Dave, let's answer that question, and I'm going to cut you loose so you can go ahead and get some rest, and we'll continue this conversation next Wednesday.
He's still working, my friend.
Oh, is he still working?
Yeah, God love him. He's calling us from the ER. He's probably like over in the corner of a room huddled somewhere.
So, Dr. Dave, how do we help families, and not just parents of children, but they could be brothers and sisters, grandparents. How do we help comfort them to know, hey, you know what, it'll be okay?
Well, we talked about before appropriate placement. So we're going to make sure your child gets into the appropriate facility. A child or adolescent is not going to be in a ward with an adult schizophrenic. There are also going to be comfort measures taken into place. The child facilities are very in tune with making sure that the comfort level is there. But the most important thing to remember is adolescent suicide is very real. I've seen it multiple times, and it never gets easier. It's always sad. So if you think that your child is depressed or even a little bit suicidal, the risk of, I'm not going to take my child to the ER because I don't want them to see something that might scar them, does not outweigh the benefit of keeping your child alive. So to me as a parent, and I think to the other parents, you want to weigh that risk-benefit ratio. And the risk is always going to be, or the benefit is always going to be to weigh in the side of caution and take your child to get help. They're not going to learn bad behavior from a psych ward. They're not going to learn to be a schizophrenic or a bipolar person. They're definitely not going to learn how to follow through with suicide. But kids out there that you would never expect complete suicide every day. So it's not something to play around with.
Well, Dr. Dave, I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. And sorry we had to push you to Friday. We'll be back on our regular schedule next Wednesday, and let's continue this conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, Dr. Dave, if you can go on my Facebook Live feed at some point when you kind of roll those eyelids back open, if you've got time, we have a lot of comments, questions in regards to everything we're talking about. And I think we've hit a hot button that, again, I said before we started the show, pretty much if you are in a family situation, you have had to deal with mental health at some point. And if you haven't, then you got a really small family.
For sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Thanks.
All right, Dr. Dave, you get some rest so you don't fall asleep over a patient.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Dr. Dave. Have a blessed weekend. All right, folks, that's Dr. Dave, our ER specialist. Now, in the studio, we've got Christina Garcia, the deputy director for Texas LULAC. Christina, and not just that, but I want you folks to know that Christina is a dear friend. I got to know her when I was at Collin College, and she was a student at Collin College with LULAC there. Let me just put this out there, and I don't particularly care what anybody says. I am a huge fan of any youth program that gets youth involved. I don't care if they agree with my political with my political agenda or not. I don't care, because if I can get a kid off the street and into an organized activity that they can believe in, then by golly, I'm all for it. So I know that's kind of a commercial for Texas LULAC, but you know, I look at people like my buddy Jacob Pena, who was a high school student at Allen High School, really didn't know how to get connected into the community, wanted to do good, didn't necessarily know how to do good, and this guy has blown up with Texas LULAC. And so, Christina, God bless you, and thank you for what you guys do for our youth and our kids.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So today, though, we bring Christina in so that she and I can go at it. We're going to
And that's why I'm sitting in between the two of them. For those of you who are kicking it old school and you're not joining us on either John Edward Payton or Kathy Partridge Ward on our Facebook Live post, I've got them on opposite sides of the radio computer board.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
So let's get ready to rumble.
Michael, where's the music on it? We should have something like that. Ready to rumble something.
Judge?
Yes. Yes.
You know, legally, we can't play that or say that over the air.
Oh, that's right,
Sharavis.
I forgot about that. No, you're right.
I'm taking it back.
I'm ready to go
Rewind.
To the Bumble. Something
yes.
like that. I'm going to Bumble
gone,
something.
Gone. Let's gone, not gone. Fumble. Let's right. not fumble.
Let's
there
not
you go.
Fumble. Yeah, here we go. Sharavis, you are right.
Love you, Sharavis.
Folks, we're going to be talking about Senate Bill 3, and Christina and I are going to take opposite positions. I'm going to be in favor of the bill. Christina is going to be opposed to the bill. And we're going to talk about and debate this bill and kind of tear it apart for you. By the way, Senate Bill 3, if you're a conservative, you call it the Women's Privacy Protection Act. And if you're not a conservative, it's been coined as the bathroom
right.
bill. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to start off with an opening statement. Christina, you're the guest. I will let you start off with your opening statement.
And ladies first.
Well,
and your mother did not. Your mother did not raise a barbarian.
Christina's not
ladies first.
We're just going at it. What are you talking about, ladies first? And I'm going to turn it over to our moderator, Kathy Ward.
Howdy, folks. Thanks for tuning in. All right. Well, Christina, go ahead. And if you'll open up, and everybody's got 1 minute for an opening statement, and then we'll go into our first question.
Okay. Fantastic. So yes, as Judge Payton said, a lot of the quote other side will believe it to have been called the bathroom bill. It has been somewhat of a ridiculous piece of legislation that does not have any really good backing. The chief of police from the major cities have come out and stated that this is a solution to a problem that does not exist, that there are no reports of anyone being sexually assaulted by the opposite sex in bathrooms. And most importantly for the children is that this is an issue that had been brought up by several conservatives with this Women's Privacy Act. But on my personal opinion and on the stance of many people who support the LGBT community is that you have been in bathrooms with the transgender community for several years and it has never been an issue, because you are not likely to look under the stall next to you to see what parts an individual has. And the one group of individuals that this is going to affect the most, which has an increased rate of suicide, an increased rate of bullying, is the elementary school students, the middle school students, and the high school students whose parents have accepted their children and are helping them transition. And so this bill is ridiculous.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Christina. JP, you've got a minute.
Well, first of all, I don't know that I need a minute. Number one, in my opinion,
you've
this
got 57 seconds.
Oh, thank you. In my opinion, this comes down to four basic elements.
Okay.
Basic element number one, why do we have extra rights for any group? That's number one. Number two, why is it that privacy doesn't extend to a public restroom?
Okay.
If it doesn't extend to a public restroom, then why do we have doors? Why do we have stalls? Why not just have open holes?
Just have a big old porta potty?
Yep. I mean, that's what they do in Tokyo,
yeah.
Right? Now, they still break it up in Tokyo, where you got women and men, but basically you walk in, you got a big old hole over the ground.
Wow.
Okay, so why don't we have just these big open spaces with big concrete holes that people can go use the restroom in? Why do we have stalls? Why do we have doors? So why is privacy not extended to a public restroom? Number three, why are we trying to impose the will of any political subdivision on a child? And then number four, why are we creating policy, public policy, that goes outside of the realm of privacy itself? And I'm going to tell you, the big reason is because women have the right to be protected. And that's what we're talking
there
about.
There you go. All right. Well, we're off to a good start. You can tell that. You can tell that, oh, you know what? Then I tell you what, let's go ahead and get ready to go to a break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, let's go ahead and we're going to go into the question. I'd like to get right into this because I'm going to give y'all each 2 minutes on this. Is this going to impact Texas economy and the ability to bring Texas jobs to Texas and companies to Texas in a negative manner? So I'd like to ask that as our next question and give each of y'all 2 minutes to answer that one, because economy is such an important factor of Texas, and we're our own entity. You know, I mean, globally, we're one of the largest economic factors in the world. So anyways, folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew. So excited to have Christina and JP debating the Women's Privacy Act, or if you're on the other side of the coin, the bathroom bill. Folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew. We'll be right back on 620 AM KEXB. I've got a new
name. Your experts in business throughout North Texas. 620 AM KEXB.
In the Medical District area of Dallas, we have an accident in the center lane. It's 35E northbound near Medical District Drive. Traffic has stopped all the way back to about Woodall-Rogers Freeway this morning. And then we have an issue in Mesquite to talk about, 635 LBJ Freeway northbound at I-30. An accident is blocking the left lane and the right shoulder. Your backup is to Highway 80. Give yourself an extra 10 minutes. Vehicle fire is out, but two right lanes remain blocked in Dallas. 635 LBJ Service Road westbound at Marsh. That's traffic on 620 AM KEXB.
Want to know the best-kept secrets of saving money on real estate? Tune in to Texas Top Homes every Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. DFW's number one source of real estate deals and tips, Texas Top Homes, where you can get the insider information on where to buy and who to buy from. Listen each week as they bring you guests that are experts in real estate. Texas Top Homes, where home buying, selling, and financing are simplified. Every Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. Right here on 620 AM KEXB, experts in business.
Do you suspect your teen has a drug or alcohol problem? Has their behavior, friends, or attitude changed? Waterford Academy can help. Waterford Academy has two convenient locations in Richardson and Flower Mound. We offer free drug screening as a first step to identifying the problem. Waterford Academy offers outpatient services for both day and evening schedules. Our licensed therapists use the most innovative, up-to-date therapy techniques and help your teen develop coping skills to succeed in recovery and in life. Waterford Academy's day program offers fully transferable education courses. Our programs offer family counseling and education to help you and your teen understand the disease of addiction and how to overcome it. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Let us help and take that step together. Visit WaterfordAcademyLLC.com. That was WaterfordAcademyLLC.com. and start your family on the path to a healthy future.
Hey, it's time to talk about our friends over at Total Med Solutions. We've been talking about the weight loss program for several months now, but there's much more services there. We're talking about hormone therapies, wrinkle fillers, aesthetics, injectables. That's what I just did. Take down this number, 972-460-9003. That's 972-460-9003 for the special Brian Glenn special. That's right. You get discount off things like Botox, Dysport, Restylane, Juvederm. All these things make you look and feel younger instantly. I know way too much about that. So don't forget, call 972-460-9003 for special discount for just listening to this show. Go to TotalMedSolutions.com for more information. That's TotalMedSolutions.com. Do it today. Look younger instantly. TotalMedSolutions.com.
New Directions Counseling and Education Center is dedicated to helping individuals and families live productive lives. We offer counseling for individuals dealing with depression and anxiety, relationship issues, family adjustment issues, and marriage and divorce counseling. If you have a child 17 or under with a behavior issue or family conflict, contact our office and ask about our special 4-6 sessions at no charge to the family. For more information, call 972-680-8986. Or newdirectionscounseling.com.
Families are precious. We love and protect them, yet life happens. Sometimes we need a specialist to go to bat for us. If you or a loved one is in need of legal assistance, get help from someone you can trust. Michael D. Curran is a specialist in family law and criminal defense cases. Michael has practiced law here for over 20 years and will help you deal with any legal matter. Need legal counsel you can trust? Call Michael Curran at 972-569-8484 or visit collincountylegal.com. Your initial consultation is free.
This is 620 AM KEXB. Experts in business throughout North Texas.
All right, folks, welcome back to JP, Kathy, and the crew. Super excited. We are debating today Senate Bill 3. And so with that being said, I'm going to turn it back over to Kathy. Kathy is our moderator, and she is going to moderate the debate. So, Kathy, would you please re-ask the question? Because I'm old and I forgot the question.
You are not old. Hey, folks, welcome to JP, Kathy, and the crew. Just to remind folks, we are talking about the Women's Privacy Act here in the state of Texas that is actually being debated during this special session that has already passed the Senate. So we've got Christina from LULAC. We've got JP from JP, Kathy, and the crew. And the question that I've thrown out to them before the break, and after this, after y'all answer this and you get 2 minutes each to answer this, then Shravius, I want to throw it over to you to either interject your opinion or to ask them a question. But the question is, and you know, Texas economy is huge. We've got a worldwide recognized economy. We're phenomenal. Folks are knocking at our door, trying to get us to come down, trying to come and do business here. Do you think, in any way, shape, or form, because there's a number of organizations and entities that are against the Women's Privacy Act? Do you think, and I'm going to let JP, since Christina answered first last time, I'm going to let you go first this time. Do you think that this will impact Texas economy in any way, shape, or form in a negative manner?
Okay.
If this bill passes?
Well, first of all, my response is going to be no, right off the bat. And the reason why is because the bill itself, if you'll go to page 3, folks, again, this is Senate Bill 3 is what this is. Even if you lease a space from a political subdivision, a school district, or even a quasi-political subdivision, like, let's say, the Tollway Authority, right? The law says that this section does not prohibit political subdivisions, including a public school district or an open enrollment charter school, from providing an accommodation, including a single occupancy restroom. Now, take that a little bit further. So they're allowing for it, but what they're saying is, in awarding a contract for the purchase of goods or services, a political subdivision, including a public school, may not consider whether a private entity competing for the contract has adopted a policy relating to the designation or use of the entity's bathrooms or changing facilities. So, in other words, they are not allowed to discriminate against granting contracts or leases to private businesses if the private business has a policy that says, hey, you know what, we're going to have transgender bathrooms, we're not going to have transgender bathrooms. It only impacts political subdivisions, public schools, open enrollment, charter schools, and that's going to be on page 2, where they say that you're not allowed to discriminate against a private entity. And this is where it says it. Page 2, letter C, subsection C, a private entity that leases or contracts to use a building owned or leased by a political subdivision, including a public school district or open enrollment charter school, is not subject to subsection A. A political subdivision, including a public school district and open enrollment charter school, may not require the private entity to adopt or prohibit the private entity from adopting a policy on the designation or use of restroom, showers, or changing facilities located in the building. So private businesses are not being limited. It's open for them to do what they want to do, even if they lease from a political subdivision or a business or a charter school or a public school.
Okay, and thank you, JP. And JP was reading off of, in case folks want to look this up, this is the engrossed bill that has passed out of the Senate. You can go online to Texas Legislature online, and you can find this bill and find exactly what he's referring to. So, Christina, take it away. If you'll let us know, do you think this is going to impact businesses in a negative manner?
I definitely think so, because although I agree with Judge Payton on the vocabulary being used in this bill, however, you have to think about it may not affect the private businesses directly. However, if people are coming here to work, their kids are going to be directly affected in the public schools and in the school districts. Also with that is that you had IBM came out publicly. You also had a letter that was signed by 14 CEOs from Dallas-based companies, including Southwest Airlines, AT&T, Texas Instruments, urging legislators to drop this bill. And I will quote from them is, our companies are competing every day to bring the best and brightest talent to Dallas. To that end, we strongly support diversity and inclusion. This legislation threatens our ability to attract and retain the best talent in Texas, as well as the greatest sporting and cultural attractions in the world. We saw some economic effects in North Carolina when they had adopted a similar bill, with even something as large as the NCAA being moved. And we already have another very controversial bill that is causing businesses to start pulling their conferences out of Texas. And that could be something we debate another day, but that's the Sanctuary City bill.
That'd be a great debate. So, yes, ma'am.
We would need four days for that.
Yeah, we need four days for that.
A full week.
But I definitely think it would affect the attraction of people coming here, especially families who have transgender children, because although it won't definitively affect the private companies themselves, it would affect their children if they are transgender in the public school districts.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And I know I want to go ahead and let Sharavius, who is co-hosting live from Atlanta. Sharavius, do you have an opinion on this, or do you want to ask JP and Christina a question?
No, well, actually, I have two things. The only way it would affect the economy, Kathy, is that if there's discrimination, you know, because therefore it shut down business. It stopped the flow, you know, from a financial standpoint. And also on top of that, you know, dropping this bill is saying, it comes across as transgender does not matter. You know, hey, you have no say, you have no right in this country. I mean, to me, I think we touched on this a few months back. I said, why not just put a neutral restroom in these companies who want the transgender, who will welcome them. And so that way everybody feels safe. So I don't think it would affect the economy if the companies put a policy in place, say, hey, we are willing to do A, B, and C in order to make sure we're not discriminating, or to make sure business is flowing properly.
Thank you so much, Sharavius. We appreciate your input. Okay, let's go ahead, and we're going to get to the closing statement. I want each of you to take we're running out. Dang, Navit. We only have an hour.
One more question,
and you can wrap it up with your closing statement.
There we go.
Do you think anything in this bill, even though obviously you're in favor of it, JP, you're against it, Christina, tell me one portion of the bill, one part of the bill, is there anything that you think has merit, even if you're against or for? So can you take the opposite side on any of these points and say something that you think is a good thing that's coming out of this bill, John, or something or a bad thing that's coming out of this bill? And can you say anything, Christina, that you think is a good thing coming out of this bill? and y'all may not be able to. Ladies, well, like Christina, it's you back me, to you. You I said ladies first, but
I'll go first. So if there was something bad in this bill, if I had anything to say at all, it would be the fact that we're taking away local control.
Okay.
I don't think that a state or a centralized government should tell the community what they should or shouldn't do. At the same token, I understand that we need to have big, broad strokes so that the folks in the local control can come in and then create policy underneath it. But I'm just not a local control, or I'm not a big centralized government control guy. I'm okay. a local control guy. So if I had to say there's something bad in here, it's the fact that the state of Texas is trying to tell me what to do in Plano, Texas.
Gotcha. Okay. Christina.
I would say the only positive thing that I could say about this bill is that it is bringing publicity and education to individuals who are not familiar with the transgender community. Other than that, I can't find anything positive about this bill.
Shravius, need I even ask? Can you find anything positive about this bill?
I'd rather not say. It's Friday, so I'm going to keep it nice today.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Well, folks, go ahead, and we're going to have a closing statement from each JP and Christina. Christina, I'll let you kick it off. You've got about 30 seconds.
So I wanted to touch base real quick on one of the 4 points or two of the 4 points that Judge Payton mentioned in the biddle in the beginning about the extra rights for any group. We already have extra rights for the disabled, and the disabled are also going to be directly affected by this bill. Even though they added an amendment, they put an age limit. And so you have disabled individuals who have their caretakers who are of the opposite sex and so forth. One of the other things Judge Payton said was privacy doesn't extend to a public restroom. Why do we have doors? I think for me, in my opinion, it's just modesty in general. I think, you know, men have a history of going into the bathroom and using urinals in front of each other and so forth. And then I do agree with Judge Payton as far as imposing legislation from the state on cities and counties who have already put in place local ordinances that their community supports. So why are we intervening in those local ordinances again?
Thank you, Christina. JP, closing statement.
Well, and I'm going to go a little
as
biblical.
As we wrap up the show.
I'm going to go a little biblical on us. I'm going to talk about the fact that in the Bible throughout, I mean, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Genesis, Psalms, Corinthians, Leviticus, it's very clear. And I'm going to just quote Deuteronomy 23:1. No one whose testicles are crushed or who has male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. And good, bad, or indifferent, we are based on Christian values. Our forefathers, and it doesn't mean that we're not open to everybody coming into this country religiously, but from a privacy standpoint, we believe that men are men, women are women, based on their gender and what it has been designated. It doesn't mean that we can't have family bathrooms. It doesn't mean that we can't have, like this bill creates, an opportunity. So, folks, with that being said, I'm for the bill. Christina's against the bill. I want to thank Christina Garcia
thank
for coming
you,
in
Christina.
This morning.
Yeah, this
and,
is great.
And
we're going to
continue to debate the argument. So if nothing else, it helps you understand what's going on out there. You
Absolutely.
Can listen to people who are opposed but not opposed to each other. Get up and get this done. Everybody have a great morning.
Have a blessed weekend.
Take care, DFW.
620 AM, KEXB.
This is Barbara Gill, co-host of Secrets of Successful Women.
With Dr. Neil Gallagher. Honored to be with Barbara Gill, Secrets of Successful Women. Saturdays, 10 o'clock, right here on 620. Barbara, why should our friends want to listen to Secrets of Successful Women on Saturday mornings?
Because we showcase a variety of women, sharing their sad stories and their glad stories.
Well, some of the women you've lined up, Barbara, are amazing. Sheriffs, doctors.
We have had grandmothers. We have had college students. We have had women.